Welcome to the Catholic Cafe, where Catholic truth is served fresh daily. We've made you a reservation in the luxurious corner booth, so come on in and see what's on the menu today. Now, here's your host, Deacon Jeff Drzemski.
Greetings and welcome to the Catholic Cafe. I'm Deacon Jeff, sitting in the luxurious corner booth of the Catholic Cafe, sitting here with Ziggy Rodriguez.
That's me.
And Venerable Tom Dorian.
Hello.
you sound like very reserved.
Yes, I am.
All right. Well, that's well guarded.
I'm amongst the pillars of the church right here. I need to be
yes.
reserved.
Yeah. Pillars. My pillars
you know
got
I'm
some
right.
cracks. There's some cracks in this pillar. So we're calling
that
in
was
the
like
masons.
Marbled. You had like a marbled look.
That's my forehead.
Gotcha. You know?
But that's a whole other story. So look, we're going to have an interesting show today because we did not plan a show today. Now, I know people are going like, all
it's
right.
Crazy.
I'm getting ready to tune out. And they have a little, like a mental clock right now. They're counting down from 30.
This will be the Seinfeld podcast.
Yes, you know, exactly.
It's a podcast about nothing.
That's exactly right. So, you know, we actually thought like, well, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? What do you want to do? And then so we thought like, well, let's just do something on the election. Now, everyone's going to like, oh, Lord.
Click.
Yeah, I can't, you know,
channels.
Right? Because, and maybe I would do that too.
Yeah.
But we thought, like, this is interesting because, like, we're in a particular place in our country right now. Mm-hmm. You know, I was raised to believe that America was the great opportunity, the great, it used to be called the great experiment, but really, this it has turned out to be quite an amazing place. When I was raised, you know, back in the days of John Wayne and Red Skelton, you know, and these comedian Don Rickles, all this stuff that you know,
those were the good old days.
Back
they?
In the good old days,
John
right?
Wayne?
Yeah,
that's my guy.
I mean, you know, and the, you know that we'd watch the Cowboys, the you know the
yeah.
whatever, and it's like I remember those days growing up, and I remember you used to be able to stay out all late into the evening. You know, you had to come home when the lights on the street came on.
Yep.
Right, and that we'd play all day.
Mm-hmm.
All the summers were like heaven on earth.
Yeah.
We'd get to go out and we were kicking the can and we were playing, you know, and if because of that, I mean, we have a modern, more modern culture that has no idea what Ali Ali income free means. They have no idea what that means. Right. And a bunch of folks right now are nodding their head. Yeah, I know what that means because
yeah.
we played those games. We did that stuff outside. And sometimes we missed dinner. And by the time we got in, dinner was cold and, mm-hmm. and mom was mad because we, you know, whatever. And I love that. Part of our country, and it just seems like in the last couple of decades it's kind of been lost. Now I think a lot of people agree that it's kind of been lost, and we've seen so much vitriol and really division in our country, especially in the last couple of decades, where it just seems like there's never the twain shall meet.
Mm-hmm.
Right, there's been this great separation, and now we have we have the results of an election where it's the total opposite of what happened 4 years before that, which is the total opposite of what happened 4 years before that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we're playing table tennis or something. It's a ping pong game.
Mm-hmm.
And some people who might be pessimistic are seeing that as like, here we go again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I hate this guy, you know, and I liked the previous guy, but then I didn't like some of the things he did. But then the guy before, he had to do. And it's like you start hearing these things, people making equivocations about what they like and what they don't like. And we thought we should do a show just like the state of where we are.
Mm-hmm.
And we, especially as Catholics, what are we supposed to do? Right? I know that I'm not stupid. I may be a little daft, but I'm not stupid. I know that in this audience, there are people that are very, very, very happy that Donald Trump is the 47th president.
Mm-hmm.
There are also people in this audience that are very, very, very upset that Donald Trump is the 47th president.
Mm-hmm.
There are people that are like probably in a state of, you know what, this is just, it's all politics. It's all a bunch of hoo-ha. It's all a bunch of words. It's all a bunch of whatever, bloviating.
Kind of indifferent.
Indifferent to the whole thing. It's like, how is this different? You know, let me go back to my life. And, you know, and there are a lot of Catholics who are like, well, what am I supposed to believe? Now, I'm going to state, like, at the outset, which is, okay, it's several minutes into this program already. This is not going to be a pro-Trump or a pro-Biden or an anti-Trump or an anti-Biden
thank you
show. It's not going to be.
Thank
I mean, what we're going to talk about today is like, what do we do? What do we do going forward? Mm-hmm. And not like, well, finally we can do this. Because the whole point of this, I think this episode is not to say, well, finally we are in power again. And we can now persecute all those people that did all those evil and bad things. Because mm-hmm. I'll be honest with you, regardless of who I voted for, what I did not vote for was have a like some kangaroo court convened at Congress and have a whole bunch of hearings with a whole bunch of people I like and I dislike and whose actions I agreed with and disagreed with paraded in front of everybody, and everyone started asking all these questions that they don't even want answers to. Mm-hmm. Right? Congressional hearings are, I think, I like going to the dentist more. I enjoy having my teeth drilled more than watching a congressional hearing. Nothing is ever discovered in a congressional hearing.
Good point.
In my opinion. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's not, we're not going to do that.
But teeth drilling, they sometimes discover Pop Rocks.
Yes. No. No, teeth drilling is terrible. I don't like it. And the thing is, I don't look forward to that. But at the same time, what I don't look forward to is I'm not wailing, and there's not wailing and gnashing of teeth. And now this guy's is in office. All of a sudden, all of our democracy is going to evaporate, you know. And it's like I don't want to think that, because I don't want to live in that country. But we're in that country, and I don't want to go anywhere because I don't know where I would go.
Oh, and there also might be a lot of people in the audience where it's not a matter of who got elected, but just basically the state of things here and the state of the world, who might have a view where, you know, they don't know how long the American Republic's going to last. It's not that it's optimism is hard, you know, and really doesn't know. You know, some of us might feel either alienated within the government or just very concerned by international affairs and by internal affairs. And at the end of the day, you know, we're not supposed to put our hope in princes or in government.
Principalities.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. And we're not supposed, our hope is supposed to be in God at the end of the day. And regardless of where we might find ourselves or and how we might assess the world around us and the state of our country, you know, we were made for this time. And God created each of us to be a unique and unrepeatable expression of his love and his goodness within this world. And then, and even if we're not seeing the sort of love and goodness around us, whether we're talking about here at home or abroad, you know, in the relations abroad, ultimately we're not in charge of making sure that the whole world is in that state of love and goodness. We're in charge of tapping into that love and goodness that God desires to breathe into us, to live through us, and to try to touch the lives of those around us, to inspire them the best they can to get in touch with God and with his love and with his goodness. And you know what? If I believe that if more of us were focused on just our, beginning first with our own relationship with God and within the context of our families and within the context of our communities, we'd be in a much better place. And I think a lot of times when we get distracted by the us versus them garbage, and we're pointing to this person as our hero and this person is our downfall, etc. I think a lot of times it's because we're getting confused about ultimately what really matters and what we're actually called to.
Yeah, and I don't disagree with that. I will say, because it's always easy to look at everything and go like, see, that's just all political.
Yeah,
you know, and we say it's and we dismiss things. I'd rather see it from the perspective of, but is it okay for us to ask God to bless our country?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, and to ask God to bless our liberty, and God to bless our freedom.
Yeah,
and we have a unique opportunity in the United States of America because of those freedoms. Because of the way that our Constitution was written and how it's been lived out, I think there's a, one of my favorite lines in It's a Wonderful Life is when George and Mary are kissing out in the like alongside the road there, and there's an older guy on the front porch and saying, "Why don't you kiss her instead of talking to her so much or whatever?" But My favorite line is he says, youth is wasted on the wrong people. And I feel like there's some humor, but there's also some wisdom there. And I feel like a lot of folks today, our younger folks, they don't have the, what I talked about earlier. They don't have the Ollie Ollie income free John Wayne perspective. Right. And it might be a little darker and a little more jaded and a little more like America's a rotten and a terrible place. And so the older folks here who've lived through wars and seen assaults on our freedoms and seen like the real enemies, I think. And a lot of times it's like you can't always just take that age and that wisdom and pour it into younger people. But when you start to see people who come to America and then basically lambast America, or people who live in America get drawn into that and be anti-American in a way, you can actually start to realize you're in a country where you can actually complain about the country. Mm-hmm. In most countries, you can't do that. No. And I think we take that stuff for granted to a certain degree. And I really want to figure out how do we as Catholics, the older ones and the younger ones, how do we unify? Like, what are we unifying around? Are we unifying around the United States of America? Are we unifying around the Constitution? Are we unifying around the laws of the land? Are we unifying even around the idea or the ideology behind the concept of America?
All the above.
Or are we rallying around, like, God and what Sam was talking about, an expression of love? And that our unity then becomes really the product of us loving the other, mm-hmm. for the sake of the other, regardless of what color the other is, what mm-hmm. language they speak, what their heritage is, what their religion is, mm-hmm. you know, whether they're orange or not. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, it's really difficult when we start seeing points of division or points of departure. And instead of seeing points of unification and things that bring us together, and I think it's only through the love of God are we able to unify this country, mm-hmm. ever. And I just, you know, some parts of me want to say this is impossible, because what I've seen in the last 20 to 30 years, really since the like some tumultuous times in the in the 60s and 70s, in this time, especially now, we're seeing the fruits of some of the stuff that went on in the 60s and 70s and into the 80s. And it just looks like, is it even possible that we can unify? And so what I was hoping to see, if you watch politics, you see it tends to like swing, like there's like a needle pointing to, you can call it Republican, Democrat, you can call it conservative, liberal, you can call it, you know, good and
left,
bad,
right,
left,
whatever.
Right, whatever. And you see this needle, and the needle keeps moving. Mm-hmm. And then some people want to then actually take, like, when you talk about the church, you'll talk about, like, well, I'm very conservative. I'm a conservative Catholic. I'm a progressive or a liberal Catholic. And you start putting political terms on the church. And the thing there is, the church is not a needle that moves back and forth. Right? It's not supposed to be. Mm-hmm. There are people who politicize things, and it happens that way. And, like, there's movements within the church. But that's not what's supposed to happen. In other words, God is immovable in the sense that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so his love is steadfast. It's not. It doesn't waffle.
You know, one thing about the church is we believe that the church has the full deposit of the truth. You know, that that God took on flesh, revealed himself to be loved. To be love, you know, stepped into the muck of our existence, died for our sins, right? And he instituted for us a church, right? And that we as Catholics share in the blessing of experiencing the fullness of that communion with the truth. But we also believe that all human beings have some participation in the truth. Just at the very, you know, at the very least, we all have rational faculties. We're all able to ask questions and talk to one another and to explore higher things. And, you know, if people think back to our episodes on the Beatitudes, we focused on, you know, we were created for the good. You know, we were created to seek good. You know, we're inclined to the good. We're inclined to seek truth. You know, even if you're talking to somebody who is one of the things that we brought up on the show during the Beatitudes for, I think it was for goodness. We said, if you're talking to an atheist, a lot of times atheists say, well, there's all this bad stuff in the world, so how could God exist? Right? Because and what there is there is there's an intuition that if God exists, he must be good. Or even people who are like hardcore anti-church, like people who are like Satanists, a lot of times if you look at their rhetoric, they're talking about, well, these people were victimized and they were repressed by the church. They were hurt by the church. And you know what? What there is with an intuition there is to say, like, well, if God's real, he's supposed to be loved. And there are people who are not feeling loved right now. Right. And so on one hand, we can allow ourselves to get angry when we're talking to these people because they don't believe like us and they don't feel like us. Or we could see that this is a human person who's been loved into existence by God, and they're grasping for the truth and they're grasping for good. And whoever we end up voting for, hopefully it's because we believe that this or that candidate that we ended up voting for has a larger share in the good, a larger share in the truth, to the best of our discernment. But rather than just shut out everybody who doesn't see like us or vote like us or think like us, why don't we, because we stop talking to each other these days.
Yeah.
You know, why
when we do, we're yelling at each other.
When we do, we're yelling at each other. Like, why can't we focus more on de-escalation? You know, again, if we're focusing again on ourselves first in our relationship with God, and then from there, our family, and then there, our community, almost all of us are going to have, when you make that move from yourself to family, you're going to have members of your family, whether it's your immediate or extended family, who don't see things the same way you do. I mean, that's normal, mm-hmm. right? And then that certainly will be the case as you move from family to community.
You know, you as you say that, I had this image, and I remember I read a little bit about Justice Antonin Scalia and Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, that they were like literally diametrically opposed politically and ideologically, and yet they were fast friends. They loved each other in a sense that they saw some kind of common humanity between the two of them. It was really, really unique that they had this relationship, and how that's even possible. You know, because a lot of times we hate the other side, right? The first thing we do is point our fingers at the other side. And some other things you were saying really led me, you know, where it's like, it is okay. Like, we all desire happiness, mm-hmm. right? We all desire peace. We all desire love. And there's nothing wrong with that. That is something that is not unique to any one person or one side of the equation. And so the reality is, if all of us are desiring peace and happiness and love, then we are united, should be united, in the search for that happiness, peace, and love. Now, I understand there can be differences.
Which is a solution conversation.
Correct.
Which, that's what we've got to get to, is solutions.
Right, and that's where we are in the show. Right, that's where we are in the show. We can talk about all the differences all day long, and everyone goes, yeah, you're right, we have all these differences.
Yeah.
Right, I've been busy reading a lot of stories in the Catholic news sector, and I plug into a lot of we'll just say newsletters online, mm-hmm. from a lot of different sources, mm-hmm. and you'll hear like this side, they'll be on a side, mm-hmm. and they're very negative about certain things and very positive about certain other things, and then there's this other side which is opposed to that side, which is negative about the other things that they're positive, you know, it's like never the twain shall meet again. And so I've been reading that stuff and going, like, I just don't think that's where we should be. And if there's anything we pray for, it is a radical acceptance of God's radical and free love, in terms of, like, he didn't have to love us. He is love. So I guess in that sense he had to, because he is who he is, right? He is love. If Deus caritas est, if God is love, then everything he does, breathes, everything that he proclaims is love. Mm-hmm. And we need to live in that love. And that's the only way in which we're going to find the solutions, Tom, that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And now there
is... But to do that, you have to get into God's head, I guess, or you let God into your head and begin to look at that person the way God looks at him, which changed the whole dynamic of that conversation.
But isn't that hard?
Oh, it's brutal.
You know, because what you start to do is go like, I can't stand this particular politician.
Yeah.
I can't stand anything that he or she does, or they are so corrupt.
Right.
Or you know, and it's so easy to point those fingers at the people. But at the same time, you go like, it's you. Then you have to admit, unless you're calling God a liar and the church a liar, you have to admit that they are a child of God, that they were created in the image and likeness of God. And it's like, I remember a couple of conversations I've had with my wife, Bess, and I love you, Bess. And, you know, where she'd say, I can't stand that person. I go like, well, you know, she's a child of God, made in the image and likeness of God. And then she'd just glare at me. No, she didn't do that. But it's like, I
good
get
for you,
that
Bess.
Thing. I know. That's what I do. I will so look at, like, the world would be a better place without that person.
Right.
I mean, the political scene would be better. The country would be better.
Yeah.
And it'd be so nice, right? So yeah. How do we get rid of that person? Well, then we're going to have these congressional hearings. We're going to have all this stuff. We're going to do the lawsuits. Mm-hmm. We'll do lawfare. We're going to, like, wage war against them and get them out. And once we get them out, we'll be left with all of this harmony mm-hmm. and peace. And it's like, that's a crock. It's not true.
Right.
Because we become fixated now on the witch hunts and the investigations, and we don't ever get anything done. Mm-hmm.
The other thing is that's problematic about what you're that attitude that you're describing is a lot of times we're
and that's not best. I need to say that because
yeah.
I'll be hearing about this later because she listens to every show. That's me.
Yeah,
that's me.
That was a nice save.
Yeah, I just want to make sure I was clear.
So Catholic within the Catholic tradition, an understanding of power is very different than what you have sort of in the modern sense of power. Power is just ability. Like, you have the we all have, and literally, I mean, the ability to, like, pick up a piece of paper, the ability to drink a cup of coffee, that is power. That's the traditional classical definition of power. Just if you either have the power to, you know, to jump in the air 3 feet or you don't. You know what I mean? And so the fact of the matter is we've been given bodies, we've been given an intellect and a will, and we have power to do things, each of us. And the question is, what is each of us going to do with the powers that have been entrusted to us? Because, and instead, what we're doing right now is we're focused on just like hoping that other people wield power collectively in a way to shut down the stuff that we don't like. And you know what? Some things are bigger than us, and we're not going to be able to just change things all on our own. But what we can do is focus on what is within our own power, and then we take that and we give it to God. Like, we don't choose to exercise control where we're given control. The real secret is get in touch with what actually is within your own control, and then surrender that, and then let God work within your life, and then inspire that movement within others. And guys, that's all that we can do.
Right. That's the solution that Tom's talking about. And I think that's not easy. What you just described is not easy. And we're all going to have some hang-ups here. We're all going to struggle. There are some, again, who are listening who are going like, hey, we just have to tolerate these 4 years, then we can take back the reins, right? And then there's others saying, finally, we've got the control.
Right.
And so we're going to whatever. So what I'm saying is, if it's good to desire happiness and love and peace, and that's a good and holy thing, right? For us to accomplish that, it means that we have to say no to persecution. We have to say no to the division. We have to say no to protesting everything. We have to say no to creating stumbling blocks.
Revenge.
We have to say no to putting obstacles up, right? In hopes that our side will get back or our side will be triumphant. And we have to stop looking at this concept of what do we do to play the game, mm-hmm. right? When in fact we need to be more in touch with the love that you're describing, Sam, that's within each one of us, that you described as power. I'm just going to call it love.
Yes.
And I'm also going to call it freedom. And freedom to love, and then
to me, he's describing the body of Christ. We all are different pieces and parts of that body.
Exactly
and
right.
How do we fit in with that body, in a political aspect?
100%. And you know what? Next time you receive Eucharist, remember it is Holy Communion, right? In unity with
mm-hmm.
communion. It's to be in unity with Jesus is to be in unity with the body of Christ, is to be in unity with the church, is to be in unity with God, is to be in unity with all that is holy and all that is true and all that is beautiful. And then that also in that big, giant, beautiful, holy world can be the United States, right, that we ask God to bless. So it's okay to wave an American flag. It's always going to be okay to do this. Be proud of the country. And I don't have a problem with making America great again, because it's been difficult these last 30 or 40 years. I don't know that I'm going to be agreeing with how that happens in certain ways, but I do know this, that if we welcome God into our very lives and we conform our lives to His divine will, and we live that out to the best of our ability, America will be and continue to be a great place to be. And there is nothing wrong with that. Those are not evil words, right? But at the same time, I don't want to see a bunch of congressional hearings pointing the finger at the other side of the aisle and just wasting our time and wasting our money when we really need to be like relishing in love and acceptance and see a common goal and unity and moving forward in a way that is radical. In the same way that Jesus radically loved us, and He was a revolutionary for His time. And if we see that and understand that in our lives and we're able to live in that way, we're going to find out really quickly just what blessings actually are. Mm-hmm. Right? When we get rid of our human need to be triumphal, and we allow Jesus to be triumphant, and we accept that Him as our Lord and Savior, and He's the King of our lives, we suddenly become benevolent kings in our own existence. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and in the hour of our death. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Catholic Cafe. If you'd like to contact Deacon Jeff, send him an email at deaconjeff@thecatholiccafe.com. Visit us on the web at thecatholiccafe.com. You can also find us on iTunes or follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The Catholic Cafe is brought to you by the Order of Malta Federal Association. Join us again at The Catholic Cafe, serving up salvation one cup of coffee at a time.